Merkle Media.
Driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm Brian Merkle.
And I'm Brian Schipper.
If you have a wild and crazy story you would like to share with us from the road, or you would just like to have a conversation with us, reach out to us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website at hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. We'd love to have a conversation with you. Ship, tell them about the voicemail.
Voicemail line, short stories, 5-10 minutes at the most. Leave your voicemail and we'll compile them and do a voicemail show. You have anything longer, contact the show, get yourself on the show, do an actual interview with them.
If you find yourself in need of emergency preparedness food, what can they do, Ship? Where do they go? Do you know?
To the bargain store.
Because I can tell them where to go.
I can too. You might not like it.
Go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. They have everything you're going to need. Food that will last you 25 years on the shelf. Coffee that will last you 30 years on the shelf. And everybody needs survival coffee as far as I'm concerned. Ship, what about buy me a coffee?
It's a virtual tip jar there. You know, keep Merkle there caffeinated with his coffee, the gallons that he drinks. You can just add click on that and give a virtual tip. We appreciate it. And have at it to keep us going, to keep more shows coming to you.
Fantastic. Keep more shows coming to you. And speaking of shows, let's get to the show right now. All right.
Okay, we're live.
We're all live. Everything's recording, so we're in good shape so far.
All right.
I'll let you introduce Denny.
Well, on the phone today, we have Denny.
Well, you don't have to give his last name if you don't want.
Well, it's a little late now.
Well, we'll just edit the last name out. What the heck?
All right, Denny, why don't you explain to everybody what you do and what you were doing and what you're doing now and how you got there and why you started driving
a truck.
Wow, you're
just like dumping it all on him all at one shot.
Why you wanted to drive a truck and, you know, go from there.
I'll explain how I got into driving, actually.
All right.
My background is industrial maintenance right out of high school. So okay. I had a buddy who, his brother was a supervisor. I worked at a plant, plastic plant, you know, 120-ton presses for 13 years, got married there, had children there. My brother-in-law comes along and I see what he's making and I'm like, you gotta be kidding. That's what I'm making now. It took me like 13 years to get there, you know?
Right.
And so I had opportunity to, I went to a college. I went to El Tri-C, got my CDL and, I was like, I went through the class because I had a boat and a compressor, so I knew how to back up. And that's the main deal with driving is backing, you know.
Because anybody can go forward.
Yeah, anybody. Yeah. Especially nowadays with automatics.
Right.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
So I held my license for 3 years because I was scared. And because I was already set where I was.
Right.
And I finally got enough courage to venture out. And I ended up going to PJAC because that's where my brother-in-law worked.
Right.
And
right.
And then I had opportunity there. You know, Jeff Hamilton, he gave me opportunity. And I switched careers. I loved it. I went almost 10 years at PJAC.
Right.
I would still be there today if they wouldn't have sold. I like the whole atmosphere there. I met a lot of good guys. I met Brian there.
We won't hold that against you.
Yeah. I got to learn the workings of how things are transported, how we get things to market, mm-hmm. you know, how things are moved around. You know, I worked in port in the beginning. I learned all that, how things come off the ships, how, again, they get distributed amongst us, how months before the planning goes in logistics wise mm-hmm. to get the stuff to the stores, because it just doesn't show up at that time of the month. You think Christmas is, oh, Christmas. No, it's months in advance that it starts showing up.
Yes.
Starts right. getting delivered, starts getting manufactured. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so about a four to six month
lead
if you're,
time.
If you're yeah. looking at Christmas, we're moving that stuff probably July, August already.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there were some other opportunities, like, you know, how everybody went to Cisco, Brian, you know, not Cisco, U.S. Foods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was those types of, hey, I'm over there because either the dude couldn't handle the freight, or he got let go, you know,
right.
So he moved on and then right away, you know, whisper down the alley.
Yep.
And it turns out that
the grass is much greener on this side.
No, it's not. It's not. It is not. So, again, I stayed there, like I said, pretty close to 10 years. I moved around the different areas. I started in port, moved to Patterson, moved to more North Jersey, then finally ended it. I was in Pennsylvania doing Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, all the way up to Milford, New Jersey there.
Right.
But it was a really good job. It kept me healthy. That was weird because where I'm at today, I didn't realize how healthy the job was keeping me.
Right.
Walking the box back and forth, you know, throwing a truckload of tires,
right.
you know, here and there. Moving the pallets, you know, I was a straight, 230, 240 pounds. Now I'm 290, you know?
Yeah. It happens to us all.
Yeah.
It does catch up with you, you know, when you stop doing that. I know.
Yeah. When you stop walking the box. Yeah. Yep. So, Jeff and his brothers got the bright idea to sell the company. You know, they retired early in their lives.
Yeah.
And I knew right away if the Hamiltons weren't running it, it wasn't going to be the same. So I started looking around, and Air Products, where I'm at currently, they had a workshop. I didn't make it to the workshop. But I held on to the job coordinator's name, and she held on to mine because she knew I was interested. Because again, I had a industrial mechanical background, so I was into machines and all that kind of stuff. And that's what Air Products is, an engineering company. You know, it's a cryogenic company,
right?
And they operate their tankers. You know, they do a lot of operating, hands on stuff,
right?
That I'm gifted to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
And there was opportunity there. They called me out of the blue 2 months later. And that's when I started there, you know. They brought me in, and then to find out that they start on safety. When you walk in the door, they give you PPE, you know, they teach you, a certain way they want it delivered. They teach you the Smith system. They teach you how they want it, the equipment driven. Right. You know, they're very efficient in their way, you know. And
well, it's like, you know, if it works, don't break, you know, don't change it if it works, you know.
Exactly, exactly. And I drove for there for 13 years. I made it to 730 miles safe driving with no accident, nothing. I was trying to shoot for 1 million miles through there.
Sure.
But they had another opportunity opened up, and they brought me into management. And that's the current role that I hold today is I'm a driver supervisor.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So now I'm passing all my information on, because through this whole process, I got old. And I'm older now, so I'm teaching all these younger guys my experiences and my my role that I had over the years as a driver to them.
Sure.
You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at currently. I can't say nothing bad at all about Air Products ever, you know, because they took care of me safety wise, financial wise, mm-hmm. and now I'm learning again on top of everything. I'm 54 years old and I'm learning again, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
well,
the thing,
you know, it sounds like, you know, with that company, you know, they bring you on board, they're looking at you. You might not have known it when you first got, you know, hired on, but they were, you know, looking down the road 15, 20 years, where can we go with, you know, what can we do with this guy, you know? And, you know, you were a person that, you know, didn't shy away from an opportunity that was presented to him. And, you know, they realized that and they, you know, obviously they see the potential in you. So, you know,
yeah.
It's just not them. It's a two-way street, you know. You could get a guy there that's a piece of shit, and they're not going to – I'm sure they're not going to give that same opportunities to that guy. That guy would have been, you know, kicked to the curb and down the road already.
Yeah, because there's – through the years, like, I've been in a few safety events. I've been in ride-alongs. Mm-hmm. I've taken higher-end corporate people out with me. You know, they gave me that responsibility.
Right.
And they gave me the responsibility of, I made a video for them. It's, in the life of a driver.
Right.
And, cool. I've seen it played. I've heard it played through corporate meetings and everything when it first came out and they were so pleased with it and it was edited so perfectly, you know, it's a really, I was impressed with it, and I know it's about me, but I mean, I was impressed with how they presented it, you know, it's right. A really good bit. Yeah.
But that's neat though, that they used, you know, they used their own drivers to show their corporate people, this is what we do. This is what it's like to be a driver here. You know, I think that's important.
Right. They used their own drivers.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a Carmella production there where they brought in people wanting to go up in the rocket ships.
Exactly. There you go.
What's amazing too is a lot of our drivers moved on and further into the country or into the company.
Uh-huh. Right.
You and know, with like EST and logistics, mm-hmm. and supervisors and, you know, an array of things, you know, it's really a good opportunity company to move into.
And that's awesome because that, you know, you don't see that as much, at least I haven't in my experience in the trucking industry, you know, moving drivers up. But from what I have seen from my side of things, you know, just from where I'm at, you see a lot of, they bring people in who are experts in this and experts in that, and everybody else knows how to do your job except for you. Apparently, you know, you're the driver who needs to be told what to do and how to do it, you know, and it happens in a lot of companies. You know, how many drivers are being supervised by somebody who's never driven?
Right. Yeah. You know, never driven. I mean, even when you did the LTL, Denny, we get all these goofy pickups, and we're saying this guy doesn't have a brain. He never drove a truck. He has no clue.
Right.
You know, at least this way you could say you actually have the seat time.
Right.
This can work if we do it A, B, C, D. Yeah. You know, we can't go A to Z and come back again. You know, you have that insight, and you have that input that you can, reflect on the management when they're making choices.
But it gives your drivers a sense of respect for you, knowing that, hey, this guy he's not just telling me what to do. He's done this. He knows what he's doing. Right. He knows what he's talking about.
Yep. And then they even give me opportunity. I can go out to logistics and I explain what I'm thinking and how this is should be scheduled. Like we're doing a project right now. We're trying to, without altering the schedule that much, because again, we have a schedule. It's on the hour, every hour, there's a driver coming in. There's a driver ending his shift. And they work hard, these guys, and they work 14 hours, and to tweak their schedule is their home life. Me and then the supervisor manager at the terminal, we don't want to alter that at all, because that's made for them. And that's again, their home life.
Right.
So we're trying this project because we go over the Hudson, and the Hudson, as you know, when you get over to GW, when you get over to Cross Bronx, when the Triborough, it's volume, there's a million people out there. So we're trying to put more stuff to nighttime or after that 7 o'clock or, another thought
process. After the PM or AM rush hours.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
But, the feedback we're getting from logistics is, we're going to have to change the bid. And all right, give us something, meet us halfway. What can we change without touching the bid? First, we'll do baby steps, and that's the project we're doing right now, because delay time is horrible. The guys don't want to sit in that, or they don't want to go towards that if they're knowing that they got to sit for 2-3 hours,
right?
And they're being paid a certain amount of miles, right.
Yep, absolutely. That's one of those runs. That's a suck run. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Somebody is going to get it.
It's got to get done.
The lowest guy on the pole ends up getting it.
Right. Well, that's the other thing good at Air Products too. The day you start, you're making the same amount of money and the same, because it's all pieced out as the guy that started 30 years ago or 20 years ago. You make the same amount of money.
Now, let me just ask you a quick question. Now, we've at our company, we've just adjusted our pay scales, and these guys that your company at Air Products, they don't have a quorum about, I've been here 25 years and this guy's making this, as much as I am, right off the bat, just getting here 3 weeks ago. They don't have no problem with that, because as far as, in my eyes, look, this is the way the pay scale was X number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way the pay scale is now to entice drivers to come to this company, or otherwise they're going to go down the road a little further to something else. Some guys have a sour taste in their mouth about this. Other guys, it doesn't really bother them. I was just curious on your side there. If anybody had that same issue.
I'll give you my experience. No, that never came up.
Great.
From the day I started, they were more, explain like, this is great. You're making the same money I am, because you can root into the company. Because they had the saying, if you stay 3 to 5 years, you're never leaving, because the money is that good.
Right.
The benefits are that good. The safety is that good. And they were true to their word. 3 to 5 years, the thought process of me worrying or thinking about money, I never thought about money after that.
Right.
You know?
Great.
That's awesome.
That's, you know, signs of a good, you know,
it is.
Efficiently run company.
Oh, my word, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what we're running into now, though, is trying to keep guys because now what we altered, or what the company altered, are the cameras. We had an outfacing camera when I drove, which was not a problem.
Right.
They went far now is they turned it in.
Oh.
And this is where a couple guys right off the bat just, I'm not driving this way. They didn't give it a chance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we lost two right off the bat just because the cameras were coming in. And then we lost two guys that got caught up because the cell phone policy. And then that we lost two guys to the cell phone policy.
Right.
You know, but I just heard last week that they're doing a pilot out of, and this is behind the scenes stuff. Nobody knows about this, that they're going to do an earpiece pilot at two different terminals to see if that is a way to go.
Oh, you mean like a Bluetooth?
Yes. Yes.
So they can be hands-free?
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
Because I think they're finding out that people, when they first come into the company, as soon as they hear about the phone policy or the camera, it's a deterrent,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And just as the company is educating themselves with this new technology, you know, they're seeing the behavioral of what the cell phone, because honestly, the cell phone is a great invention.
Right.
It's a great way. I mean, Brian and I worked off of maps, you know, paper maps, you know.
Yes, the I cell did phone, too. Yep.
Yep.
The cell phone cut that right out. You have GPS now.
Yeah.
You have all these new pieces of technology, and now you turn the camera on. The guy that hasn't driven at all doesn't understand what he's seeing, you know?
Yeah.
That's, to me, a good thing that they're going down the right road with allowing the driver, because we have a special holders mounting things that the phone holds.
Oh, really?
You're allowed one touch. Yeah, you're allowed one touch, but you can't hold it. And that's why we got special holders.
Okay.
We mounted on the windshield. You're allowed a touch. If you have to grab the phone, the policy is you pull over, set the brakes, and deal with your business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't, and this is DOT law, you can't be at an intersection and hold the phone in your hand. You can't do any of that. If a DOT officer sees you do that, that's a violation.
Right, even though you're stopped at the intersection.
Exactly.
Right.
I think we're going down the right road.
Right. Some of your newer tractors, our Max that we have, they're already Bluetooth compatible. They have the mics already inside of them already.
Yes. They have the steering wheel controls and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But this is where all of a sudden the camera came inwards. That all got, you know, it has to be rewritten.
What it does. I understand.
Yeah, because the policies that we carry don't line up with the technology.
With the technology that's available today.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because when I started with Air Products, I don't want to say Air Products all the time. when I started with the phones and the speaker system were already in there.
Mm-hmm.
What ruined it was society getting in all these accidents.
Right.
And they changed, you know, society changed the policy because people were getting hurt, killed, you know, distraction. That's the big word is distraction.
Right.
In the system. And that's why everything got taken out, right. You know, and rethought.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this question. With these cameras that are facing inwards, these cameras also, you know, tell you about lane departure. They tell you about, you know, you blew through a stop sign or or, yep. you know,
speed.
You're speeding, right. you know, with all that distraction going on, I'm finding, you know, I'm having a real hard time with the woman in my office now, you know, telling me these things. It's just driving me crazy at times, you know, right. anybody, you know, I get, it's a learning curve.
When you say the woman in your office, what do you mean?
The bitch in the box there.
The camera talks to you. I know. Yes. You know, it almost sounds like somebody in the office came out and talked to you about what you're doing on the road.
My office is a coffin 6 feet wide, and it weighs 80,000 pounds with a trailer on back.
Well, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Denny, is at what point is there too much distraction, even with all the safety equipment? Is there a point where it gets to a place where all of the things going off, all the bells, the whistles, the buzzers, the collision avoidance system, and all of those things? I mean, the lane departure, because now we have in our trucks, we have the lane departure
with the truck,
and we have it with this camera.
Right.
So sometimes the camera will go off and the truck doesn't go off. Sometimes the truck will go off and the camera doesn't go off. You know, and you're like, what is going on? You know, it's like it's like a constant barrage of distractions, and it's just constant. So I guess I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here with that. That's why I'm kind of asking it.
From being on both sides of the game, it's all about safety.
Right.
To me, that's what they're thinking of. It's a safety safety and liability.
Sure.
Right.
You know, because actually the camera saved me. I was on the Cross Bronx and I'm just sitting there in traffic, and the tractor trailer container in front of me, either he took his foot off the clutch or he just puts the clutch in, or the clutch was misadjusted and it backed. He rolled right into me.
Wow.
So he dented the bumper of the unit I had. Mm-hmm. I got out. I go, hey, you know, you backed into me. He goes, no, you hit me. I go, how could I hit you? We were on a hill sitting in traffic. So he was going to the point where, you know, he was going to say it was my fault. And I said, you see up at the windshield?
Right.
That's a camera. That saw what exactly happened. So when the officer comes, he's going to see what exactly happened.
Right.
His story changed. He got on the phone with his company. They wanted to give me money. You know,
wow.
they didn't want me to call the police. I said, I'm sorry, but I need a police report. My company needs a police report. You know, I have to fill out, you know, a document and all this other stuff back when I go back to the terminal, you know. So that saved me. And I've seen other videos that it saved the driver, you know. But yeah, you have to change your way of driving with this system. And it's all about safety.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
That's why I was trying to go down that road, because I wanted to get to that point where it's like, you know, this is what the average driver's thinking. And coming from your point of view, from the company point of view, and that's where you have to come from, because they're the ones who really have a lot of liability, you know?
Yes.
And so, you know, I try and look at it like, look, truck doesn't have my name on the side. It has, you know.
I said, it's not my product.
Yeah.
And every driver has a choice.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't play for that team, then you move to another team.
Right.
You know, this team requires these different policies and procedures. They pay well.
Yeah.
And we have a bonus attached to this system. You know, if you do everything, all the checks and everything, and you run it properly, you get a giant bonus every quarter.
Wow, so that's nice.
On top of it, they're paying you to perform this way.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And again, that's where the company I work for wants to be this company in what we do worldwide.
Yeah.
And that's the other reason why we're pushing this.
Right.
Now, and well, the thing is too, is you're actually giving incentive to your drivers to do this.
Right.
And that,
right.
You know, that's, you know, one hand washes the other. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know what I mean? That it still sells today. That attitude.
Yeah.
Where the company's going to, you know, look, we're putting these things in here, and they're here for a reason. They're here for your protection and for our protection, and we're gonna give you some kind of incentive to help you follow the, you know, the rules, and you know,
to help you help us,
right? Yeah, I mean, really, in essence, that's what you're doing. But it's a good thing. I mean, I think that's great. When can I apply at Air Products? yeah, that's all it takes is somebody to hear that.
Yeah,
no, it's fantastic.
I know a guy having it set up for an interview Monday.
I just don't want to go across the. I don't want to go across the Hudson. If I can stay on this side, we're in good shape.
Yeah. You know, I guess with these cameras too. One of the biggest problems I have is you gain the space between you and the guy in front of you, and then.
Somebody fills it
right away, yeah. You know, no matter what. And, you know, you're trying to gain that space back. You get it back. It's just it's like rinse and repeat. And I understand there's an issue of riding the guy's ass versus, you know, the guy took my space away. Now I got to make it over. You know,
right.
I got to gain that back again. And it's just, right. I think, you know, there's got to be an issue, you know, a give and take with safety also, as far as, you know, I'm getting it back, you know, am I getting it back in, you know, X number of seconds? Yes or no? I don't know. But, you know, it's, you know, with our company, it's like we, you know, they said, well, if you just do the speed limit, everything's going to be fine. And, you know, I'd like to have all the parameters going in, not that we learn about it every month when the safety director comes and says, hey, I got a couple of videos to show you.
Right.
You know, and by that point, it's like, you know, then it becomes frustrating at that point, you know. You know, you're watching, you know, well, you didn't do this right, or you didn't do this right. Well, you did this right, but, you know, it's. I don't know. It's
well, and that's I think sometimes that's the other side of the coin. This is where I think you guys are doing it right, is that you're giving your driver an incentive to do the right thing, which is good. Where if all you ever hear, the only time they ever talk to you
is on the negative.
Well, here's all the things you did wrong this month.
Right.
You know, according to your camera, according to what's going on. And there's never an incentive because the camera doesn't record when you did everything right. And nobody gives you an attaboy. Nobody even says, hey, you know, you did a good job. I think there was no report, you know, no reports or whatever on you this month, you know, as far as your camera goes or anything like that. You know, at least you guys are acknowledging to the drivers that they're doing a good job by compensating them for that.
Well, actually, this particular app does, same Sarah. It gives you a grade per day.
Oh, no kidding. No, that's really neat.
See it up in the left hand side, and it's grading you when you go out on the road and when you perform.
Okay.
So it's giving you those attaboys and those lift me up type things.
Sure.
And also we have a mile achievement board that we run out of our terminal and monitor it every day, and when these little events come up or when I go through and I see the good scores and stuff,
right?
I do go, hey, you're doing a great job. You know, whatever you're doing, keep it up. And if there's other drivers in the room, I'll focus him in, you know, hey, he got this score today. Mm-hmm. Listen to how he's, you know, working the equipment, because he's going to get his bonus.
Right.
You know, he's going to get the quarterly achievement that he's striving for, and what is he doing? You know,
right.
Blend it off to the other drivers.
And I think that's great, because, you know, what's the old saying? You know, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. You know, positive reinforcement is such an important thing in anybody's life, in anybody's profession, and it's one of the things that you don't necessarily see as much sometimes at, you know, different companies, you know, you guys, it sounds like Air Products is doing a really good job with the positive reinforcement. That is something that I wish we'd see more of in the industry, is that idea that there should be positive reinforcement for the drivers. Yeah, it's important to point out the things that they do wrong. It's important for them to know you didn't do this here, you should have done that there. Those are really important things to do, because it helps you to, you know, kind of look at your own driving. You kind of face yourself in the mirror and figure out, okay, what do I need to do? But to also get that positive reinforcement back on a, you know, I don't want to say a constant basis, but on a kind of a regular basis, like what you're doing, you know, when you have a driver who's had a good day and he, you know, did, you know, all the right things and things worked out really well. That's a good time to look at something, because, you know, a lot of times you go home from work and you know, sometimes the best you can hope for is that everybody goes home alive and there was no accidents, you know?
Absolutely.
That's, you know.
Yeah, this past Friday, we achieved over 500,000 miles safe.
Wow.
The manager, he threw a pizza party for the drivers.
That's cool.
Bought pies. Pizza pies, of course, mm-hmm. soda. You know, the week or two before, we got hoagies for everyone.
Right.
Because we have our driver's room. We have like a little kitchen with a refrigerator. And we have coffee 24 hours a day, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
We bought hoagies and had them around the clock.
That's cool.
You know, again, it's, and I always felt those little achievement things make me want to work harder and pay attention more.
Right.
Because again, you're doing what, not only what you're supposed to, what you're paid and what you're hired to do, the company is actually appreciative in those aspects,
yeah,
right. You as a driver, it would make you want to go above and beyond. Okay, I'm just clocking in. I'm here for 14 hours. You know,
yeah,
it makes you want to go the extra mile, as some people put it. You know, stuff like that. Yeah,
I agree with that.
That's understandable. Yep. And you know, I mean, you know, I get it with, you know, with our company, with our cameras. You know, we're in the infancy stage with it because
we just got them.
We've just started installing them in our trucks, and you know, we get the safety meetings, and we get these, you know, we have these videos here. You were speeding, this and that, and everything else, and you know, I've come across already where their map that they use that has the actual speed limits are wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and
those things have to be adjusted at the time. And
you know, it's all going through the infancy stage. But you know, I'm at the point where you know, and you talk to many drivers. Well, you know, I've been driving this way for 38 years. Right. This, you know, I'm not changing nothing now. And it's like you said, you either learn to adapt to the system, or you move to another team,
right? And but
a lot of these other teams are now starting to get these cameras. You know, it's just not a one company team that has this stuff. You know, it's like you said. You know, a lot of these trucking companies are self-insured. You know, they're protecting the driver, they're protecting themselves.
Sure.
You know, in the setup of a you cheat him in how lawsuit, you know, episode, you know, like you said, you know, you had an experience where the container rolled backwards. How can you roll uphill and hit the guy?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So, I mean, you know, I've had our old camera system, you know, save my, you know, it was, you know, the accident wasn't my fault to begin with. She turned into my right steering wheel and then came right in front of the truck, and we're going down 283 at 58 mile an hour, you know, and she's in front of me, and I'm just praying I can get the truck stopped before the car would roll over.
Right.
But, you know, luckily, you know, she shot off the front, off the left side, and came to a stop in the, you know, the burn in the median then. But that was a ride. You know, for those couple seconds till the truck all came down to a stop. But
exactly.
You know, and they actually had it on camera. You know, I got to watch the video.
Did you? They never showed me mine. I don't think they wanted me to see it. It was pretty scary. So, but it's amazing where the industry has gone. And it's a necessary part of the industry. And you get that as a driver, you've been, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. It's not like we're new at this. And you realize that this, you know, just how litigious we are anymore, you know, as a society.
Right.
That, you know, the first thing that happens, somebody's ready to, I mean, I was just talking to, well, I'll save that story for another time. It doesn't have anything to do with trucking. So, but it was a crazy story. All right. You know what? I'm going to share it.
Go ahead.
It's just really a short story. This was on the news, like yesterday morning or something like that. I was talking to the fueler and, some woman got into a car with some guy who she didn't know. They got it on. She got an STD. She sued the insurance company that he has on his car, Geico.
Wow.
And they were going to settle for $1 million. She said no. She sued him, took him to court, and she got $5 million.
Oh, my God.
Because she got an STD in the backseat of somebody else's car, of a guy she didn't know or whatever, and she got $5 million and from the insurance company, from the car insurance company. That is how litigious we are. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Yes. People will sue for anything. So I totally get it for a trucking company to do the things that they're doing, because this is where we're at. This is 2022.
Yeah.
You know,
from the law office of you cheat them and how.
And my thought was, and the court didn't just dismiss the case as frivolous. I mean, when do we become responsible for ourselves? Well, as long as somebody has deep pockets,
never.
People won't, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the sad truth. And that's something we've all seen in the trucking industry is they go after the deep pockets. You know, they always do.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Exactly.
And, you know, and on the same aspect, you know, with Denny's company, you know, the stuff they haul every day, it's a type of hazardous material.
Oh, my word.
Every day.
It is.
You know, whether it's going to freeze your foot right off in the road at 450 degrees centigrade or, you know, propel a rocket ship.
Sure.
You know, it's a various spectrum. Stuff, correct, Denny?
Yeah. You have to, and we're well trained on handling what we carry.
Sure.
And the equipment is super insulated. The equipment is super safe. Mm-hmm. I can't think nothing bad on how we operate at all. We're, you know, 10 times in of a degree of safety on what we do, you know, and it is hazardous.
Yeah, you know, like you said, you know, you have to, you know, there's no other way, you know, the you know, for this particular stuff, this is what you had, this is the way it's got to be done.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, talking about the litigious end of things, people don't realize what they're driving around, driving around a
when
truck
you're
like
driving
that.
Around, yeah, yeah.
I mean, they just don't. They have no, even driving around, what, you know, just the, you know, the regular box van trucks like we do, you know, the regular 53-foot trailers.
Yeah, they see the placards on the side, dangerous when wet, spontaneously combustible.
Oh, flammable.
You know. It doesn't dawn on what that actually means.
No, and I mean, just they'll cut you off to get ahead of you. They'll cut you off to get off at the exit that they were in the far left lane. They had to get off at the, you know, this exit as they're passing it, you know, and they cut so close to you that you can't even see their back windshield. You know, that's just, they just don't have a clue. Right. And that's
why I think the companies to me are getting smarter.
Yes. Yes.
Than we actually think because of what's going on, because you can have an array of things happen out on the highways today, especially the Northeast, very heavily populated, bridge tolls, you know, all this stuff. The companies have to protect themselves.
Sure.
You know, because there's so much out there that can go wrong, you know, within, you know, your period of 14 hours, you know,
yeah,
and that's where they turned around and started like, hey, you know, you're you're going to have to be trained this particular way. I know we've all been doing it for the past 30 years this way, but society's changed.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you have to get a hold of.
Right.
You do. And as a driver, you have to adjust to it. You just, it is hard, you know, like, you know, we've been doing this for, you know, 30 years or more. And, you know, you get kind of get set. Like you said, you get kind of set in your ways. This is how I do things. And I've been safe all this time. Well, there's, you know, there's people around you who aren't safe. And that's what you have to protect yourself against.
You know, years and years ago, they're going out 78 in, you know, towards New York City.
Mm-hmm.
There's the broad putting her makeup on, doing her hair, you know, driving with her knee.
Right.
You know, the other guy's got the laptop open. He's doing office work before he gets to the office. And, you know, you concentrate on the distracted driver, truck driver. But yet, you know, we got these idiots, you know, doing their thing, you know, and, you know, as like our safety manager said, you know, if you're taking the time to actually watch them, what they're doing, you're not doing your job.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, you think you've seen everything, but then it's like a train wreck. Got to slow down and take a look.
Right.
Right. Well, look how things got so populated. I mean, I know because Brian lived in the Lehigh Valley. Look how 33, you had all that space. When I was young, you got on 33, you might have been the only car, you know, going up to Stroudsburg.
Yeah.
You know, now all the spaces are gone. You know, you're like fighting, like what Brian was saying. You try to give a bumper space in front of you, and you can't. That's all the spaces are gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to, it's hard because I hear from the drivers and myself as well. It was hard to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I came from PJAX was stack 'em high, stack 'em tight, $36 a square.
Yeah.
Yep.
Get back here as fast as you can.
Yeah.
I switched to this company. This company is, no, you need to slow down. You need to follow our policies and procedures. And you know, safety is our key.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, this is, I need time to adapt to this. You know, you do. And with technology coming into play now, with everything being cameratized, and it's not only that's the other thing. It's not only inside the cab, every highway, every convenience store, every parking lot, every street that we go down, it like Bethlehem and that, they're all cameratized.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
not to mention every, how many cars, how many people have dash cams in their cars now?
Yeah.
So they're catching everything. Go on YouTube, you know, just go on YouTube and look up car dash cam videos. They're all over the place. So yeah, you're totally right. You know, I totally agree with that.
Yep. So it's nothing that we're not adapt to already. We just don't pay attention to that stuff just because it's facing us. It's giving us a spec of how we're driving, you know, what speed. It's more critiquing us into being a better driver, I think, you know.
I agree with that. I do. It's just, you know, it's like you said, it's that frustration of when you first get this stuff and you're trying to figure it out and, you know, but it is almost like you're relearning it all over again, you know, because you get especially after as many years as we've been driving, you know, you get used to doing it. You know, this is just how I do it. But there are better ways to do things, you know, and you just have to.
Because we had a hard time with positioning the camera because everybody was looking down at the camera, or not the camera, the phone.
Mm, okay.
You know, and we, Samsara captures from the shoulders up a box on your head, and it was setting it off all the time, and we were getting hundreds of indications, you know, distracted driving.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to move their personal phones up onto the dash, you know, get it out, stop looking. There was a whole procedure on stop looking at the cup holder, because everybody would stick their phone in the cup holder, you know.
Right.
Right.
And when you look at the cup holder, you drop your head. So the camera doesn't know you're dropping your head to look at the, you know, the rec chains or logistics sent you a message to update your customer or what have you. We had to reposition the phone holders, you know.
Sure.
And it's all a learning process. It's a learning process on our end as it is on their end, you know.
Sure. Right. Sure, most definitely. And the thing, the hard part for you, for people in your position is you have to try and convey that to the driver, you know, because you know how drivers can be. I mean, you know, we're drivers, you know. And so trying to convey that, all the things that you guys are trying to do and without, you know, losing a whole crew of guys.
Right. Well, like you said, tired, you know,
they're just
two
like,
guys left right off the bat, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they left literally cameras came in. That was my last day yesterday.
Right. And in today's job market in the trucking industry, I mean, drivers are hard to come by, you know?
Yes. Yes. It's what moves our commodities, you know, it moves our materials. A driver possesses a very important role in movement, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like the old saying, if you own it, it came by a truck, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Some form or another, it came on a truck.
That's it. You know, I mean, I don't even like we were just looking at an article earlier and in the article, it was talking about the DEF fluid problem that we're having in this country. And I had no idea that we were even having a problem with it. You know, as far as not being able to get it. Have you guys noticed anything with that? I just read the article this morning, so I was kind of curious, you know, because it's in my head. I just thought I'd ask, you know, have you guys noticed anything with that?
I haven't heard of the DEF. I heard there might have been a lag in getting our fuel.
Okay.
But I didn't, like, just this past delivery was 2 days behind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I think twice a week, we go through 14,000 gallons of fuel.
Wow.
Within a week or a little better than a week, probably, you know, time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And if we don't have fuel, you know, you don't go nowhere.
You don't go anywhere.
Well, right. You don't have DEF, you're not going anywhere either, unless you have older trucks.
Well, it was.
DEF is ammonia and water, I believe. Did some sort of ammonia plant or found? Is that what the cause is? Or
no, we get a large amount of it from Russia and China. And with the war in Ukraine, we're not getting it from Russia anymore, and China has backed off, so we're not getting it from them either. And I was reading an article. We were reading an article about the Flying J, and Union Pacific is cutting the amount of they get all their DEF from through
Pacific, Union Pacific on rail tankers
and they're cutting them by they want them to cut back by 30%.
No, it was. The Flying J supplies 30% of this country.
There you go. That's
and they want to cut back. They want the Flying J to cut back 50%. Which would mean, you know, now they're down to 15%, you know, supplying the entire country.
So, right.
You know.
Yeah, it was a crazy article. And I was
we were just skimming through it, and I'm like, all right, well, now if you total this out quick, you know, diesel fuel, $6.50 a gallon. And then you get, you know, your DEF, you know, is now, what do we figure? It was almost like
$5 a gallon, a little more than $5 a gallon.
$5.56 a gallon. You know, I don't know per se how much, you know, a full tank of DEF, you know, runs out for how many gallons in a diesel truck. But, you know, if you don't have both those fluids, eventually that truck's going to be on the side of the road because, you know, the truck literally, you know, if it has diesel fuel, but it doesn't have DEF, it will go into D-rate mode, you know, and it will be crawling very slowly.
5 miles an hour.
Right.
You know, we're just, you know, Yeah. Here's a thought here, Pete Buttigieg and Joey down there in Delaware. I'm going to tell you this right now. You know, this might be a problem come winter.
Yeah.
So don't say nobody said nothing. You know, right. You're not a mind reader, but, you know. But, yeah, it's just insane. And I really think come this winter, if there isn't a handle on this, I said to Brian, I says the only thing that can stop this is, you know, if all of a sudden it goes back to a COVID situation where, you know, nobody's driving because they can't afford the fuel. You know, and then that's going to run. Everything's going to go rampant then, you know. You thought you had supply chain issues. You thought you had shortages before. Baby, you ain't seen anything yet.
Yeah, because I still see the same amount of volume on the road with even the prices, you know, going through the roof.
Right.
You know, I haven't seen a lag in volume yet.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, see, I had the theory behind that. You know, after the COVID, everybody wanted to get away for – you know, the first holiday of the year, Memorial Day. And I think maybe we might see a little shift in that come July because of the fact of the matter, okay, now they're living this and groceries are more, you know, it's cutting into their, you know,
disposable cash.
Income, you know, a lot deeper than what they originally thought. And so, you know, we have three major holidays, you know, beginning of summer, Memorial Day, middle of summer, July 4th, and then we have the end of summer, Labor Day. So we'll
see what happens by Labor
Day. Yeah. I mean, you know, you might see a trickle back, you know, a cutting back in July, but, you know, if this goes, you know, the way it's going right now, I don't think anybody's going to be driving come Labor Day. other than going back and forth to work. I mean, you know, right now you're putting $75-$80 in your car just to go to work. You're in the hole $80 before you left the house to go to work.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the other thing. The time I spent at Air Products, I never not got an increase per year.
Right.
That's fantastic.
That's another amazing thing of the company that I work for. And then this past one, they more or less doubled up on the percentage that they gave the drivers.
Wow.
Right.
I was amazed that they went and did that. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Again, you know, trying to probably retain their workforce. They have X number of dollars invested in each employee. You know, and they don't want to, you know, lose that employee because, you know, it's like I said, you know, I've said it time and time before, from when that guy walks in, he gets his physical, he goes through all the training that's required, you know, you have maybe eight grand into that, you know,
easily
before he goes on his own. And, you know, it's an investment, you know, and you expect it to pay a dividend over X number of years. I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of formula that they have all that figured out, but I mean, that's the skinny of it.
Oh, sorry. Even when a driver starts with the company I work for, when he's out in training, he's making the same amount that driver is making.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't. Yeah, it's
you know, wages, the
really
benefits.
They really value their employee and the driver as an employee at the company I work for.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in majority of case, you have low turnover. Your turnover rate is, you know, maybe a small percentage of, like you said, you know, people not adhering to the guidelines, and the major percentage is the guys have been working there 35, 40 years and they're retiring, you know, that's the only two things. I mean, if you have a decent company that's treating their drivers, employees, you know, at above, you know, how can I say this? Above normal, there's no reason to leave. And, you know, companies do see that, and, you know, they do make the investment to, you know, retain their drivers. And, you know, with the driver shortage that's going on now, you know, they got to basically double down on it.
There we go. Nope. I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. But what I'm saying is they got to basically double down on this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Lost your train of thought?
Yeah. It just went right out the door.
Yeah.
whole thing I wanted to ask you. Oh,
there it is.
I know what
it
was.
It's back on track.
You were actually telling me that, you know, Air Products, your company, they're exploring different, various fuels, electric, you know, they were looking at the electric trucks, electric hydrogen or something you were saying out there in California or something.
Yeah, I think our next fleet will be hydrogen.
Wow. No kidding.
I hear, and what is told to me. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Because like I said, our place, up in Cleveland, they have an all electric straight truck. They, the roof is a gigantic solar panel, and that powers the lift gate. You know, if they need the lift gate, and you know the truck's good for, I think, 150 miles.
Yeah, 150 miles.
You know, on a charge on the truck itself. So, you know, basically straight truck. You know, driving around city doing, you know, your city deliveries.
Right.
But
I mean, look at the infrastructure of some of the bigger cities. They've been running natural gas for years,
right?
On buses, on you know, certain
we have some CNG trucks too that we run, right. You know, along the line haul side.
Yeah.
So it's nothing that hasn't not been tried in the past. It's more or less having the infrastructure. So where you're going to, you know, reload the fuel that you're running your equipment on.
Right.
You know.
And having that infrastructure in place prior to getting the equipment in and making the change. Okay, we're going to this and we're not going to get any diesels, you know.
Yeah.
Without having all the infrastructure in place.
Yeah. Right.
Because right now we have our system at our terminal. You know, we run... we're like a 300-mile radius out of our terminal.
Right.
And we have our comm cards in case something happens to the fuel pumps at our terminal. But right now, our fuel pumps are at the terminal.
Right.
And pretty much that's how Air Products runs. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some over-the-road fellas and that kind of thing. But if we would change to a different, you know, fuel, it would just be at our terminal, I believe. You know, we would reload and we would venture out, do our deliveries and everything, and come back and reload at the terminal.
Well, what did Air Products like about the hydrogen tractors? I'm just curious. Like, I imagine that the emissions are nothing really.
Yeah, I probably would think it's emissions and
yeah, it's got to be zero emissions, basically, if they're doing it out in California.
Right, and it's hydrogen, so.
The environment, we are environmental strong,
yeah.
You know?
And well, you know, and at the, but, you know, where I was, you know, my mind was going was, how, like, are they, do they, you know, have enough power? Are they pull good, you know, the hydrogen compared to, like, what you're seeing as far as the electric? Big trucks go and that kind of stuff. I was just curious. That's why I'm kind of like picking your brain on it. It's kind of an interesting thing to me. And I was kind of curious.
Yeah, I only seen the unit of how it looks. I didn't see the specs of what it produces and how much it can pull and that sort of thing. I would be guessing.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's just a very interesting concept.
And then the flip side of that would be, how would that type of a unit, per se, work in the Northeast? You know, or north in Minnesota, dead of winter, -24. Right. Might work fine out in the desert, in the warmer areas, but might not work so good up here. That's a whole nother breadbasket of issues and
definitely
things they got to sort through.
Hydrogen is actually colder than nitrogen. Hydrogen is 400 below zero.
Wow.
Yeah, that'll freeze your tootsies up.
Yeah, it certainly will.
Hydrogen is the coldest, one of the coldest. So is helium. Wow. Helium is just as cold.
Huh.
Right.
So things you learn, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I think that's actually really kind of interesting. That's neat.
Yeah. That's what runs the MRIs is the helium. It's actually in a bath. That magnet's in a bath of helium.
No kidding. Keep it
cold. Yeah. Nitrogen is like 295, 280, somewhere around there. Oxygen is the same. Argon, that's roughly the same. Those three elements are roughly the same. To get a colder is you go with hydrogen or helium. And naturally you would go with helium because it's less volatile. Is that the word?
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, that's actually really cool. I had no idea they were that cold.
No, they're very cold.
Yeah.
That's why you see them venting out, in the dead of summer. You see the vents going.
Yeah, the vapors,
The vapors coming off.
Yeah, well, that's regulated. The relief valve comes on at 15 pounds.
Okay.
See, all of those trailers are low pressure. So they run and they're tagged in that particular manner. Like CO2, which runs 300 pounds of pressure, that's considered a high pressure. So that has a totally different tag, totally different spec on it as it's going down the road.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, all of our stuff at our terminal is low pressure. But what you see coming out of there is just, that road relief has to be open so it doesn't build pressure. Because as soon as the product is made, it wants to change back into a gas.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's actually really interesting. Some of the things we don't, in our end.
Here's another fun fact you might not know. Where his terminal is located in Bethlehem is directly across the river from where the old steel company, Bethlehem Steel's BOF furnaces was.
Oh, their basic
oxygen furnace.
Yeah.
Air Products was pumping
Our plant,
the oxygen service right to it.
Yep.
Wow. They served them directly. They piped it right underneath the Lehigh River.
Wow.
Right into the BOF.
And the pipes are still there.
Get out. That's pretty cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's why that terminal was put in the middle of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down in the hole near the river.
Yeah.
For that reason.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That was the reason behind that. So
very cool.
Very interesting. But all right, Denny, we're not going to hold you up anymore. We'll get you on again for another session. Let you do what you need to do up there at the motorcycle track or wherever you're at there.
Yeah, well, we're actually practicing today. Me and a few other thousand other people are here.
That's cool.
I say that the prices of fuel still haven't gotten to nobody yet because we're still paying $6 for race fuel or 93 gas,
Yep.
Yeah, we're still here.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. You know what? No matter what, I hate to see this all take a nosedive,
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
But something's got to give somewhere down the road here.
Yeah.
Something's got to change, I don't want to go political or anything, somebody needs to pay attention to what's really going on because it's not the war. That's all I have to say.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Yes.
War. Yeah. And I thank you guys for having me on and thinking of me, Brian, especially you. I've known Brian for a bunch of years. Good guy.
Definitely.
I'll be welcome to come on again.
Yeah, no problem. And, hey, any of your drivers want to come on, like you said, go on the website there and, you know, give us a link there and we'll get back to you. And, you know, we'll gladly have any of your drivers on if they want to come on.
Yeah, most definitely. You
know, if they want to listen to the show and that. So anybody can come on. It's just a conversation about, you know, normal everyday stuff.
Yep, exactly.
Yep, what we do.
What we do.
What
so,
we do.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it, Denny. Thank you so much for coming on. It was such a pleasure to talk with you and spend some time. And I appreciate you taking time out of your vacation to talk with us. So thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
You take care, right. Denny. Have a good one, man.
All right. All right. Take care.
God bless America.
Amen.
Amen to that. Thanks,
yeah,
Denny.
It's still the greatest country in the world.
Yes, it is. Well, that's the show, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the show. And Chip, if they enjoyed the show, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share the show with their friends, their enemies, anybody. Just as long as they share the show and get the word that we have put out there. Out there. Yeah.
Amen, brother. Get the word out. While you're getting the word out, check out Hammer Lane Legends gear section. Go to hammerlanelegends.com and hit the gear section. Check it out and see if there's anything there you like. Until next week,
keep the hammer down in the Hammer Lane.